May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 1108. 1108. Breathe from the gentle south, O Lord, and cheer me from the north. Blow on the treasures of thy word, and call the spices forth. Hymn 1108.
To read from his holy word, the first book of Samuel, chapter 30. First book of Samuel, chapter 30. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the men that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water. They gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God, that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle, and said, This is David's spoil. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David, and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them all to the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent to the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, to them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in South Ramoth, and to them which were in Jatir, and to them which were in Aroah, and to them which were in Sifmoth, and to them which were in Eshtemoah, and to them which were in Rachel, and to them that which were in the cities of the Jerahmeelites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites, and to them which were in Hormah, and to them which were in Karashim, and to them which were in Hattak, and to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to haunt. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O thou great and eternal and merciful and gracious Lord God, it is of thy mercy that we are not consumed. Do grant us each truly thankful heart for the privilege afforded us to meet together this evening around thy word. Lord, and we pray for help. Lord, do graciously presence thyself with us and make thyself known to us as thou dost not unto the world. And save each one of thy people in this assembly, if it would please thee. Thou knowest the particular way in which they need saving. But Lord, there's only one way. Every way, everything that thy people need saving from and unto is all by and through thy dear Son, the Saviour. We pray to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings to be made conformable to his death. Do come, Lord, and fulfil thy word. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. O Lord, and we pray for that work of thy Spirit in every branch of it. whether it be to quicken the dead, to convince of sin, to lead to Jesus Christ in prayer and supplication, to inspire that living faith in him so to do, and increase that faith to the measure wherein thy people shall know him as theirs, and that shedding abroad of his love, the love of God, by the Holy Ghost. And we pray, Lord, that thou would speak with power to thy people. Lord, thou knowest exactly the word that each one of them need. And it's only as it's spoken by thee that it will do us any good. Oh, we pray then, be not silent to us, lest we become like them that go down into the pit. Oh, we do pray to be saved from going down into the pit as we so richly deserve. And we pray to be saved from being like them that go down into the pit. Lord, sometimes, through indwelling sin, we are no different to those that go down into the pit. Lord, we've read of how wonderfully thou didst deliver thy servant David when he was in the land of the Philistines, when he was among those that go down into the pit, and held fast in the unbelief like those that go down into the pit. But Lord, he was bound up in the bundle of life with thee, and therefore thou couldst not let him go. Thou couldst not leave him in that condition. Lord, if any of us are in that condition tonight, Lord, do in mercy deliver us. We pray for this people. Hear their petitions. Yea, do more for them than they ask or even think. We need that, Lord. We need a salvation that we cannot comprehend and cannot ask sufficiently for. Lord, a Saviour greater than any thought of our minds. For we are sinners greater than we can express it. Lord, we are vile. Lord, we are full of sin. We are undone. We are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But thou art God, and thou hast said, look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. O Lord, say that to end of the earth sinners this evening, so enabling them to look, and in looking to thee to be saved. Forgive, we beseech thee, the sins of another day. Lord, how many things we have omitted to do which we ought to. And how many things we have thought and perhaps said or done we ought not to have. Lord, we are backsliders in heart, even when we are not outward backsliders. We are that people thou dost speak of in thy word, bent to backsliding from thee. And we do pray, Lord, for recovery. Lord, draw us again. Forgive our backslidings. Fulfill thy word. I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them. And Lord, we know how that was. We know how that is. When thou didst in the day of thine anger smite the shepherd, the good shepherd, the darling Lamb of God, the Holy One, the Lamb without blemish and without spot. And now, Lord Jesus, thou didst so willingly endure that smiting, didst willingly drink the cup of that anger and wrath to the very dregs, yea, so there's none left. Oh, assure us, Lord, it was for us. Lord, bless thy people tonight with a view of him who bore their sins away, who said, the cup that my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? And if this cup may not pass away, except I drink it, thy will be done. We pray for thy afflicted people. Be with them, Lord, in all their afflictions. Where it is thy will, do put thy healing hand. Where thy will is otherwise, oh, do abundantly bless in the soul. And grant, Lord, those things needful. Lord, thy kind and merciful relief, if it would please thee in pain and weakness. Lord, do come as thou didst set forth in the parable of the Samaritan. Come where thy people are. Look upon them and have compassion on them and go to them. And pour in the oil and the wine of the gospel. And bind up their wounds and take them to that blessed inn and provide for their care. Oh, we ask, Lord, that thou would so bless sinners in this place. Do so send thy word that it shall come, thou wilt come with it. And in thy word and through thy word, look in compassion and go with thy word and apply it, the pardoning word, the word of love, of grace, the justifying word, Lord, the word of sonship. Lord, oh, do bless sinners in this place. Oh, thou knowest those that long for it. Thou knowest those who feel to have fallen among thieves and to be half dead. Their body's alive, their soul feels dead, but they feel it. It is not dead, Lord. Oh, but, oh, do favour with a view of thee. Oh, what a sight when we're in the ditch, half dead, wounded and can't get ourselves out. What a sight when thou dost come and smile upon us and put thy hands upon us and speak with love and mercy and grace. Bless people here in this way. Thy people everywhere, do good in thy good pleasure to Zion and build the walls of Jerusalem. We pray for our dear friend in the nursing home, and brought very low in affliction's path. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst bless him abundantly. Come, thou blessed antidote of death. Take away all the fear of death, which we poor men are so subject to. for which cause thou didst come into this world and do all that thou didst, dying in their own place instead. Assure our dear friend it is so. Lord, that will remove the fear of dying. And Lord, grant hourly help. And these dear ones, Lord, at home, in their grief and sorrow, in it all, oh, may it be richly sanctified to each one in that house and in this congregation and in the families and to us each. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst fit and prepare us to stand before thy face. Grant us oil in our vessels with our lamps. Favour sinners this night with a little of the oil of the Holy Ghost, making known the Son of God as our Saviour. Remember the deacons, Lord, bless their labours and help them. Each member of the church and the congregation, unite them closer and closer together in Christ. Lord, we do pray, O Lord, that we may know what John Baptist said. He must increase, I must decrease. Save us from this great eye. Oh, may we be little eyes. And thou, Lord, the great I am. Oh, Lord, make us as little children. Lord, grant us that conversion day by day, that we may enter by faith into the kingdom of God as a little child. Lord, do add to this church such as should be saved, bring into the congregations thine own elect. Have mercy on Britain in much deserved wrath. Restrain the evil and overrule those in authority. Lord, prevent further evil laws. Remove the evil laws that are in place. Make wars to cease, Lord, help thy people in such distressing circumstances. O Lord, have pity, we beg, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 963. Blessed Spirit from above, teach, O teach me how to pray. Fill my soul with heavenly love, lead me the celestial way. Hymn 963.
in dependence on the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter we read, First Book of Samuel, chapter 30. Verses 6, 7 and 8. First Book of Samuel, chapter 30, verses 6, 7 and 8. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. The record which the Holy Ghost has written of the life and experience of David is a very wonderful provision for the Church of God. Oh, how God is glorified as it is shown how he took that young lad from following the sheep, had him anointed to be king over Israel, wonderfully led him through all his life, the trials, the great difficulties, the adversity, the afflictions, his sins, and the Lord's recovery of him from them, and then his wonderful end, landing safe in glory. But you know, in these accounts, David, of course, is not the only one. The Lord is setting down a pattern, not in every detail, but generally a pattern. And the pattern is the Lord's beginning, the Lord's choice, the Lord's anointing, and then his leading in a path which is so crucifying to the flesh. A path which finds out all the iniquity in our hearts. A path of chastening, rebuke. But in those paths, the deliverance is. This is the pattern. And the pattern is the Lord doing the whole of that which is good. So that, like David in Psalm 18 and in other places, a song of praise goes up from the heart of David, from the heart of the child of God. And they take none of the glory to themselves, because it all belongs to the Lord himself. And in this account here, we have the record of one of David's falls. You see, The pattern is here that the Lord's people have still two natures. And our old nature keeps getting us into trouble. And unless grace prevents it, it's always so. It's only grace that ever brought you out of any trouble. And grace brought you into the trouble of soul, the trouble over your sins, and grace delivered you from it. Well, David's fall was the fall of unbelief. He was tired of being pursued up and down the country by Saul. But how wonderfully the Lord had preserved him time and time again. And this episode of him going into the land of the Philistines, it was after the Lord had given him a wonderful deliverance. It just shows how fickle we are, my dear friend. I think of that wonderful day when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper in the upper room. And those disciples came out of that sacred place and from that sacred occasion. And we read as they went along, they were reasoning among themselves which of them should be the greatest. Oh, perhaps there is one here this evening. And you say with a beck of old, if it be so, why am I thus? You know, and it's searching. It makes us to question where we really are, doesn't it? It puts a big question mark over whether we are really the Lord's people. If it be so, why am I thus? And Rebecca was enabled to go and ask the Lord. She inquired of the Lord. And he answered her. Paul said, we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And the conflict going on in Rebecca's womb worked together for good because it brought her to ask the Lord. Anything that brings you to the Lord in prayer, anything that brings you to the Lord for a decision, a sentence on the matter, is a working together for good. You see, sooner or later, the sinner that goes unto the Lord with a question will get an answer. My dear friend, whatever trouble you're in this evening, if you're found at the footstool of the Lord's mercy, the Lord is already helping you and he will help you. He cannot fail to do so. He will not fail to do so. And you see, he will help you in the best way. That's a wonderful thing about taking our troubles, our whole case to the Lord. Cast, he said, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. You know, when we are given that real living faith in God, there is that persuasion sometimes given us, he's going to help me. I don't know when that help will come. I don't know how it will be, by life or by death, says the apostle, but he will help. It's a wonderful thing to be given something of the submission of Christ. In the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Well, the Lord help us to try and look at this text. The Lord chastened David sore. There are a number of things that we see in this account that the Lord was chastening David for. Firstly, his going down into the land of the Philistines. Settling down there, even asking for a town of his own, and Achish gives him Ziklag. You see, there was a sin in David's life which was evident in so many of those godly men of the Old Testament. We read here of David's two wives, don't we? Now, the Lord never, not in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, ordained it that a man should have more than one wife. Through the hardness of men's hearts, it seems this sin was unrealized. And husband after husband fell into it. But the Lord's chastening was upon that man and those women in every single case. The Lord instituted marriage in the time of man's innocency. It was one man and one woman. He brought the woman unto the man. And there it is. It would appear that until the time of the Saviour's advent on this earth, and particularly the time of the outpouring of the Spirit, until then, there wasn't this real reformation by God with regard to this matter. But you'll notice that in the New Testament, we don't read of the Lord's people having two wives. Indeed, the Apostle Paul, when he's speaking of the qualifications for a deacon or for a minister of the gospel, the husband of one wife. Well, for these things the Lord chastened David. But it was a bitter chastisement. Ziklag is burned with fire, and the Amalekites carried away the spoil and carried away David's children and his two wives, and the children and wives of David's men. And David was greatly distressed. Would he ever see his wives again? Would he ever see his children again? Greatly distressed. Those dear ones that lay so close to his heart. Greatly distressed. And the whole matter of such a solemn judgment of God coming upon him. We might say the shock which he felt. When you know the Lord, he knows how to bring his people to their spiritual senses, and sometimes it is something that falls upon them so unexpected and so suddenly. And the Lord, in the hearts of his living people, makes it such a distressing thing as he causes them to realise. Perhaps as soon as David looked upon that burnt city, God has done this. He must have something very solemn to tell me. He is telling me something. Very solemn in this. David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. You see, that was in the Lord's hand. The Lord was going to put David in a situation, and he was doing so in an instance, it seems, or in a very short while. David was in such a lonely situation. And that's what leads to the Holy Spirit saying at the end of this verse, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He certainly didn't get any encouragement from his men. Rather the opposite. We read, don't we, in the book of Job, he sealeth up the hand of every man that all men may know his work. And sometimes the Lord causes men to rise against us. And it is the hand of the Lord, not the hand of the men. And it evidently was the hand of the Lord in this matter. As David, on a number of occasions in his life, was in this position, that his foolishness and his sinfulness had brought trouble not only on himself, but on others. And that's a solemn thing, isn't it? And who among us can say we are immune from such a thing? Those of us that are husbands, the trouble we bring on our wife. Those that are fathers, the trouble we bring on our children. Those of us that are in the church, the trouble our sin brings on the church of God. And we're all part of a nation. You know, I believe I did feel it when the Lord laid upon us the virus, the COVID. And of course, there were many people saying that when the world was in such a sinful state, was it any wonder that the Lord afflicted us in that way? But I felt that I personally had sinned sufficiently, without anyone else to bring that pandemic upon the world. With regard to the withholding of the power of the Holy Spirit, which is such a solemn and such a real judgment in the day in which we live. My dear friend, our sins have grieved the Holy Spirit, and brought upon not only us, but upon the churches which we're members of and the congregations which we're members of. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. As we've said, the men didn't encourage him. And I believe, though sometimes in David's life he did have, and I think of Jonathan, he went into David when he was in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. I'm not saying, therefore, that the Lord never uses another person in encouraging his people in the Lord. But shall I say this, more often than not, in the deepest straits, in the most distressing circumstances, in the deep matters of your soul, your sins, where will you spend eternity? Are you the Lord's or are you not? The whole matter is between you and your God. And that's how it was with David here. Because David couldn't have encouraged himself in the Lord his God if his God wasn't with him in it. Jesus said, didn't he, in John 15, without me ye can do nothing. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Two words I want to point out to you. Himself. Himself. Oh, you see, in this moment, in this situation, how David needed a personal salvation. It's his own case. It's his own life. It's his own family. It's his own wives. It's his own soul. Oh, what a blessing. When we are enabled, even concerning ourselves, wretched as we are, undone as we are, ruined as we are, guilty as we are, when the truths concerning God are brought to our soul by the Holy Ghost in such a way as we're enabled to hope even regarding our own case. He encouraged himself. That was going on in his soul, which we read of in another psalm. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? You see, in this great distress, David has a real case. David encouraged himself. If you haven't real distress, if you haven't real guilt, if you haven't a real lost soul, if you haven't a deep trouble tonight, how could you encourage yourself in the Lord your God? He was regarding his distressing situation that he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. How is it with you as you've come into the house of God this evening? Was there anything in your soul and in your circumstances, anything in any measure similar to what David was in? You will therefore know how unable you are of yourself to encourage yourself. But you will know how there is a reality in a person feeling encouraged in their soul concerning the Lord. Who can say how near a person may come to despair, but none of the Lord's people come truly to it? None, they come very close to that brink, but they never are permitted to go over it into despair. Despair of self, yes, despair of help from the creature, despair of ever being able to fulfill the law. Each of the Lord's people, and they know that despair. But he never leaves them to completely despair regarding him, regarding God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. In the Lord his God. That's the other word, just briefly. Himself and his God. Because his God was with him. The Holy Spirit was with David at this moment. And David didn't have an imaginary God. He didn't have an unknown God. Like the men of Athens, that altar with that inscription. His God. You see, God had made himself known to David as his God. And though David had forgotten his God, though David had disobeyed his God, though David had not trusted in his God, though David had sorely grieved his God was the covenant God, the God who doesn't change, the God who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. One of the ways, undoubtedly, in which David encouraged himself was in remembrance of the character of God and of what God had said to him and what God had done for him in former days. Now, perhaps there is one here this evening and you're in fresh trouble. But if the Holy Spirit were to remind you of how on a former day in deep trouble, undeservedly in his mercy and in his grace, and by his almighty power he delivered you, that would be an encouragement, wouldn't it? And there are those here this evening, and I know the Lord has delivered you. But you say, oh, but how wickedly I have behaved since then. How grievously I've backslid since then. Yes, we have. But God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. He hath, hath he said and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? David encouraged himself in his God. The truth concerning this God. And I want to speak, if the Lord help me, to those who perhaps are very new in the way this evening. Unlike David was here. And you perhaps don't have a former deliverance to look back on. Well, then I believe the Holy Spirit will cause you to look back on the deliverances other people have had. The deliverances that men like David had. May he show you from the Word of God someone that was in a similar situation to you are, and somebody that was a guilty sinner like you are, somebody that was a backslider like you are. And now the Lord, in answer to their cry, save them despite all that they were. You feel dead. David's God raises the dead. You are blind. David's God opens the eyes of the blind. You are deaf. He opens the ears of the deaf. You are guilty. He pardons the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. You're vexed with the devil. Remember Legion. Then I would say this. The God of the Word of God, the real, true and living God, is the Word of God, has the Word of God been made so precious to you? Has this one eternal, true, living Jehovah been made your only hope? Do you get any hope from any other God? Those false gods, you say no. Then can you not say in your measure, the Lord my God? Jesus Christ, you may not be able to say he is mine in the extent that he has assured you that you're his and he is yours. But oh, is your heart's affection set on him? You know, Peter said, unto you therefore which believe he is precious. And the first way Christ makes himself precious is in the want of him. Can you come in with Peter when the Lord said at the end of John 6, will he also go away? Can you come in there and say, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What is it about this God? Oh, he is the eternal God. He is the God of love. He is the God of mercy and grace. He is the God who doeth everything for his people that they need doing. He is the God that pardons whom he will. He is the God that has sent his dear Son to fulfill the law in their place and to bear their sins in his own body on the cross and to rise from the dead. And it is he who has, and we want to come to this, and I must do soon. I want to come to this in respect to the next verse. That great high priest on the right hand of the Father, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Hope sprang up. Faith. Courage. and that which follows in the next verse. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. David's God in the Old Testament day had instituted the priest, the Levitical priest, as a type, a type of the great high priest over the house of God, Jesus, King and Priest. In God's providence, David has this man Abiathar with him. And in God's providence, he has this ephod. And David, therefore, in calling upon his God, he follows the divine order and comes to God through the priest. You notice, before David opens his mouth in prayer unto God, he calls for Abiathar and he calls for the ephod. Because he knows he can't come to God direct. Must be through the priest. Now, that ephod was a garment. Beautiful colours, gold and blue and crimson. Scarlet. But the significant thing was that there were those stones which were sewn into this garment. It seems that it was rather like a waistcoat. And on those stones were the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. 6 of them on one side and 6 of them on the other. And those stones were sewn into the ephod on the shoulder. One on one shoulder and one on the other shoulder. And it all sets forth the covenant of God's grace where each one of his people's names are born by Christ. They're on his shoulder. The government shall be upon his shoulder. He is the one that is holding them up. He is the one that is presenting them before his Father in heaven. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord. That beautiful exercise. You know, I said on the Lord's Day to my own people, what a beautiful thing is a sinner under the influence of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In some little measure, there's something of the beauty of Christ about them. I was speaking of it particularly with regard to the one who has had his iniquity taken away and he's been received graciously. And so he says, we will render the calves of our lips. But here David, in this approach to God, and in this exercise that is called by the Holy Ghost inquiring, the reverence put in the mouth in the dust, not presuming, but with holy boldness, inquiring of the Lord whether he will not save me out of this dreadful situation I brought myself into. The inquiring. He inquired of the Lord. The central point in an inquiry is this. He was looking for an answer. He was asking the Lord to speak to him. It'd be a wonderful thing if you and I, my dear friend, through our meeting together this evening in his house and through our considering of this word, we went away with this inquiring spirit upon us. Whatever your question is tonight, whatever your situation, you see, your case can't be too bad, but you mustn't presume. Because I tell you from the word of God, your case cannot be too bad. You mustn't presume. And if you're under the teaching of the Spirit, you can't presume. Well, then what's the way to a sinner who can't presume? He inquires. Is there, Lord, for me, mercy, grace? Didst thou die for me, Lord? Am I one of thy people? Wilt thou deliver me again, Lord? Wilt thou help me again in this matter? Wilt thou favour me again with thy loving kindness and tender mercy? You see, he had a question. Shall I pursue after this troop? You know, if we're really inquiring of the Lord, our inquiry will be pointed. And David's inquiry was so pointed, wasn't it? He had something which he was asking. A very simple question. It would have been well if he had done the similar before he went into the land of the Philistines. Because the Lord wouldn't have told him to go down into the land of the Philistines, would he? But now, it's no use looking back, my dear friend. We can't undo what we have done. But blessed be God, he can deliver us from what we have done. He can deliver us from the effects of what we have done. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, he says. But even though you've procured it unto yourself, he is able. He is able to deliver. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? You see, there was no sign of this troop. David didn't know where they were. They disappeared over the horizon. They'd gone. But he knew they must be somewhere, not too far away, for this destruction has only recently been done. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? Look at it with regard to whatever it is in your soul and in your life tonight. Lord, wilt thou deliver me? Wilt thou save me? And Lord, and perhaps it's something providential tonight, and you want to know whether you are to pursue something or not, whether you are to go in a particular direction or not. And he answered him. Now here's the pattern. You remember I said the Lord, in laying down the path of his people in his word, he lays it down as a pattern. And I said there are differences, but there is never a difference in this respect. His people ask, and in his appointed time he answers them. We shall never, my dear friend, get to heaven without that. We shall never be blessed with salvation without that. Beware of a religion that just sees the gospel in an intellectual way and assumes, because Christ died for sinners, having lived for them, assumes that I've prayed to this God, and therefore I must be saved. That gospel must apply to me. Oh no. It's like this, isn't it? You that really need that gospel, you have a load of guilt that assumptions won't remove. You have a question, is he mine? Am I his or am I not? You can't remove that question with assumptions. He answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely. Another word I want to point out to you, surely. God, surely. Thou shalt surely. You know, when the Lord has said to you, surely, you can say with David in Psalm 23, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Surely. You know, only God can say surely. But when he does, his people can say it. It's a repetition of him. Surely. And so, whenever the Lord says surely, why is it so sure? Firstly, it's his will. And God's will always be fulfilled. Secondly, everything that is necessary for that thing to happen, God will do. That's why it's sure. God was going to order that they find that Egyptian in the field. God had ordered that Egyptian's affliction. He had ordered the Amalekites to leave him behind. A cruel thing on the face of it, and yes, it was cruel. But it was God's purposes. He's the one whom God is going to use to fulfill this surely. Thou shalt surely overtake them. God put that Egyptian there. Oh, my dear friend, watch his hand. Watch for the fulfillment of his surely. And without fail, recover all. Without fail, recover all. Undoubtedly, part of David's distress must have been, what has happened to my wives? He probably feared at the very least they had been ravaged by the Amalekites, if not killed, and his children too. But oh, the Lord, here he says, thou shalt without fail recover all. The Almighty God, there is no failings with him. He says of his dear son, he shall not fail, nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth. How can there be any failures when it's the Almighty God that's working? How can there be any failures when it's that unchanging, everlasting love that is the foundation of all this? They shall without fail recover all. David might have thought, well, I'm going to come out of this poorer than I went into it, surely. No, David. No, you're not going to come out of this poorer. You're going to come out of this, David, humbled. You're going to come out of this, chastened. You're going to come out of this, having been taught a hard and yet a blessed lesson. You're going to come out of this with a fresh token. He prayed, didn't he? Show me a token for good, that they which see me and hate me may see it and be ashamed. But what is the ground upon which God says he will without fail recover all? Someone might think, well, David was very compassionate. God was very compassionate to David because he knew what a hard path that was. He was walking in the land of Israel, being pursued up and down. And God had compassion on him, thinking he had been having such a hard time. And for that reason, he would recover all. Nothing of the sort. Nothing of the sort. Without fail, recover all. Because David, you are my son. I am your God. David, I love you with an everlasting love. And I am going to be glorified in you. If there's one thing above everything else that shines forth, and it does, my dear friend, how God is glorified in this instance. You remember what Jesus said concerning Lazarus' sickness? It's not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God should be glorified thereby. It's out of God's goodness alone. Now, my dear friend, oh, may this be written on our hearts tonight. You sensible sinner in this congregation this evening, how or why would God deliver such an one as me? And you're trying to get together a case, aren't you? You never will. Look at what David called for. The priest and the ephod. It's on that ground that David recovers all. It's the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ on behalf of the sinner. If David hadn't recovered all after the Lord had said all he had, what would God do for his great name? Thou shalt recover all. Did the church really lose anything? Well, they did lose everything in the fall. But in the mind of God, did they lose anything? No. God had fixed in his everlasting covenant a standing from which they could not fall. When God saves Adam and Eve, though the path they're going to walk is a painful one, on the sweat of their face they're going to eat bread, God is going to be with them. And he's going to bring them through. And they're going to be with him forever. The devil, through David's old man, his old creature, he has tried to separate one of God's jewels from him. And he's going to fail. He'll always fail. And the ground is not in your doings and my doings. It's not in your righteousness and my righteousness. It's his and his doings. Thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. You that have lost the sweetness, you that have lost the sense of blood-bought pardon, you that have lost to your soul's enjoyment the Lord himself, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Where there is this inquiring of the Lord after the recovery, where there is this inquiring at the hand of the great high priest, thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt surely recover all. And we read, don't we, verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them. Amen.
God willing, next Lord's Day there will be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock, after which Mr. John Rosier was expected to preach, and Mr. Graham Hadley next Friday evening as a TBS service. Let us close with hymn 1062. 1062. King of kings and Lord of lords, these are great and awful words. 'Tis to Jesus they belong. Let his people raise their song. Hymn 1062.
thank thee for the word. Oh, we do thank thee for those records of thy wondrous works. And we pray, look in mercy upon us, as thou usest to do, to those that love thy name. Thou art almighty. There's no case here this evening too hard. Lord, thou art full of grace and truth. No case too undeserving. But Lord, do help us to come to thee with that inquiry and do favour us with that answer and the fulfilment of it. Pardon all amiss, keep us safe as we journey. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.